it can be hard to say goodbye, and sometimes a song can help.
So long, farewell, I'll feed us and goodbye. The sun has gone to bed and so must I. Adios, adios, adios.
Thank you, fellas. That was perfect.
That was the character Danny Rojas leading the singing in a recent finale of the Apple TV show Ted Lasso, with the title character responding. Lasso, along with the popular HBO show Succession, marks some of the latest finales to join the pantheon of major TV endings. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Did a show you loved end this year? What did you think of that last episode? Do you have a favorite final episode of all time? What did you love about it? Do you have a least favorite one? What led you down or frustrated you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Brian Carr is a professor of communication, information science, and women and gender studies at UW Green Bay. Brian, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thank you very much. It's great to be back.
What is the formula, as you watch it, Brian, for a successful conclusion to a long-running TV series?
So there are different schools of thought on this. One is that you want to make sure that you tie up your loose ends narratively, that the themes of the show come through in a very meaningful way, even if that doesn't necessarily give some of the most ardent fans of the show what they're looking for. Or you give the fans exactly what they're looking for, and you make them very, very happy at the end of the season. I think that if you talk about those two shows, Succession did the former, Ted Lasso did the latter, and they both did them, I think, quite well in those frameworks.
We got to say, we're talking about a privileged few TV shows, ones that run their course, that give the creators enough time to lead up to that finale. The vast majority of TV shows end, you know, maybe after one episode or one season. They don't know the end is coming. That said, that puts a lot of weight on those shows that do have the opportunity. How have you seen it go wrong for shows that make it to that point?
Let's just start with a little show called Game of Thrones. A show that outlived, did not necessarily have enough of the actual source material to adapt. So they had to basically go off of notes from the original creator and decided to rush the last season because the showrunners were basically and understandably tired of doing the show. And they decided to just go ahead and do something that thematically made a lot of sense. If you go back and watch that show, like the ending of that show where those characters end up, it completely logical follows where things were headed, but was done so abruptly and rushed so much that fans ended up being very alienated and angry by how that turned out. And then they showed up for House of the Dragon anyway, so what do I know?
Now, we've mentioned Succession, another high-profile show that just came to an end. Here is a clip. The siblings, Shiv, Kendall, and Roman, doing what they do, I guess. They talk and argue over who should succeed to take over the company.
It's 6-6, okay. And we don't have Shiv's vote.
This doesn't make, like, logic. Where's the logic?
No, I just don't think you'd be good at it.
I feel like if I don't get to do this, I feel like that's it. Like, I might die.
Shiv, can we go in that room? Can you just vote?
Please. Please.
See, you can't be CEO. You can't, because you killed someone.
Which?
What?
Wait, what do you mean? Which? What, like you've killed so many people, you forgot which one?
That's not an issue.
And as you said, Brian, some shows end by continuing what they've been doing all along. I haven't watched Succession much, but that that fits the formula?
100%. That show very much. The show, I think one of the problems about Succession is I think people got caught up in what they thought it was versus what it actually was. What they thought it was, oh, here's characters that we root for, characters we want to see succeed or fail. What it actually was, this is a satire and a scathing indictment of not only the American media system, but really of America itself. And to have essentially the crux of the show boil down to squabbling siblings in a boardroom was really the only way it could have ended. It's the only real true ending they could have had.
We were talking about great and not so great TV finales. Those last episodes, whether they get it right or wrong, Brian Carr is with us from UW Green Bay, and you could share your favorites or least favorites at 800-642-1234. Shows new or old, 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Chris is with us in Delavan. Chris, hi.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to bring up what I think is possibly the most infamous last episode of all time, and that being the last episode of Lost. And I was totally enthralled with the show all the way through, up until I regularly tell people to, you know, you can watch the last episode, but I recommend just don't watch the last 15 minutes of the last episode, because it just makes you feel like you wasted all of your time before that point. And that's it for me.
Chris, thanks a lot. Now, that is one, Brian, that gives a lot of strong feelings there, the last episode of Lost. The creators have explained it. It's not, you know, they have this explanation of what inspired them and what actually was happening. But I guess if you have to read stuff by the creator to understand it and then like it, maybe it's not such a successful conclusion.
There's certainly an argument to be made there. And this is where I'm going to kind of disclose the only episode I ever watched of Lost was the finale.
What?
So I was completely lost. Yes.
Yeah, you would have been really lost, I feel like.
Yeah, it feels appropriate though, right? but I was fascinated by it all the same, because I had, you know, picked up a lot of it through cultural osmosis, right? Like, I'm like, okay, so they're on an island. The island may or may not be purgatory, whatever. But there is definitely something to be said for a show that delivers its finale in such a way where if you were expecting a certain outcome or expecting a certain amount of catharsis or an ending, and the show either refuses to deliver that or doesn't deliver that, the caller's absolutely right. Like, you can feel like you wasted your time. And that's one possible way to react to one of your favorite shows ending.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Now, Brian, he could have ended that sentence with Lost when it comes to infamous final episodes. He could have ended it with Seinfeld. Now here's a clip from the finale. The show is mostly in a courtroom where witnesses from throughout the show have a massive clip show looking back at all the bad things the characters did. Here's a moment.
I banned that one, the woman, for a year. Then one day she came back.
5 cups chopped porcini mushrooms, 1/2 cup of olive oil, 3 pounds celery.
That's my recipe for wild mushroom.
You threw soup, Nazi. Back it up. No more soup for you. Next!
Published my recipes. I had to close the store and move to Argentina. She ruined my business.
This soup's not all that good anyway.
What did you say?
This is one that I think frustrated a lot of the hardcore fans of the show, Brian.
It was, and I understand that, but having recently rewatched that show, again, it feels like the only appropriate ending. This is a show where the characters sort of very notably are constantly making other people's lives worse, and even in some cases destroying their well-being. So there is something sort of cathartic on some level, maybe not for the audience, but maybe for the show's sort of internal logic, that eventually they're going to have to, the past will catch up with them. I will say that ending your series with the characters in a cell, awaiting, you know, serving out an indeterminate amount of time on a prison sentence is very, very interesting. And there were also a lot of other fake outs, including they made it look like the plane was going to crash that they were on for a moment. It's also interesting that they actually had an entire season about that episode in Larry David's later show, Curb Your Enthusiasm, that addressed some of these. So if you haven't checked that out, it's worth watching.
Let's go back to our callers now. Erica is with us in Lake Tomahawk. Erica, hello.
Well, good afternoon. I think one of the sweetest endings ever was Big Bang, and one of the worst was Cheers. I don't know if they were drunk or what the deal was.
Was that the one where they had like John McLaughlin, the sort of serious public affairs guy, interviewing, like having a panel discussion with the characters?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I think they were lit. I don't know.
I mean, you know, it's the TV business. That's certainly possible. Thanks a lot for that call. Pro Big Bang, and the Cheers is one that's gotten talked about a lot over the years. Not a fan there, Brian.
No, but it is one of the highest rated finales of all time. And what's interesting, if you go back and you look at shows like MASH and Cheers and that sort of thing, and even Seinfeld, these were shows that were massive cultural events. They were rapidly approaching the Super Bowl in terms of actual viewership. And that just doesn't happen anymore. We talk about the finales for Ted Lasso and Succession. Succession got, I think, about 2.2 million viewers, which is nothing compared to 80.4 for Cheers or 105 for MASH, which is pretty emblematic of how much just the business of television has changed.
Thanks a lot for that call. Brian Carr is with us from UW Green Bay, and we're looking at TV show finales, a couple big ones, but by modern standards anyway, just passed us by, talking about what makes them great or terrible, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. If there is a series you have loved and it made it to a finale, did it do what you wanted it to do? Did it wrap up the show in a satisfying way for you, or did it disappoint you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation. Take more of your calls coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about TV finales with Brian Carr, professor of communication, information science, and women and gender studies at UW Green Bay. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What last episode of what show do you want to bring up, for better or worse? Call it at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls. Susie is with us in New Berlin. Hi, Susie.
Hi. I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember this show, but the Bob Newhart show, when he and his wife were running an inn in, I don't know, someplace in the northeast corner. The last show, if you were a Bob Newhart fan, as I was, I mean, there are a lot of people that just followed him no matter what he was doing, because he's just got such dry humor. Anyway, the end of the last show, I don't even remember what they did at the inn. Called it quits, closed the doors, I don't know. And then all of a sudden it switched to the show before that. They were in bed in their apartment in Chicago, which was the series before the other one started. And the wife woke up and she said, I just had the weirdest dream. We had an inn in the Northeast, you know.
Sure.
So anyway, they tied the two together. I thought that was kind of cute, and I felt good about it. It felt very done.
Susie, thanks a lot for the call. And that's one I think people bring up a lot, Brian. Yeah, the Newhart show ended as a dream in the previous Bob Newhart show. I don't know, funny joke, or is it was all a dream? Did that it didn't disappoint our caller, but maybe other people weren't wild about it.
It's one of those things where if it feels right for the tone of the show, It's probably fine. But yeah, the it's all a dream cop-out is usually just that.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Terry is with us now in Milwaukee. Hi, Terry.
Yeah, hi. This is a copycat of Susie's. Saint Elsewhere. I don't know if your guest Brian's old enough to remember that. It was a hospital setting with Hollywood's depiction of how they thought people working in a hospital, a busy hospital, operate. And sadly, it ended with the child having a dream.
Right. It pans back, I think, Brian, it's been a while, and then you see that the hospital is inside like a snow globe, and it's a kid holding the snow globe, and it was all an illusion or a dream or something like that. Where is that on your list?
So I have not watched Saint Elsewhere. I'll be completely transparent about that. But the snow globe ending is infamous, and certainly one of those ones that has been referenced, parodied, etc. And again, when you set up the finale as saying everything that you just watched ultimately was just false, it wasn't real, you are adding a level of artifice to something that's already inherently artificial, and it really does not, I personally think that's usually not a great way to end it. But again, we remember it, so maybe they did something right.
Thanks for the call, Terry. Mercedes joins us next in Green Bay. Mercedes, hi, what shows do you have for us?
Hi, so I just recently watched Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul in that order. I know Breaking Bad's finale has been hailed by a lot of people, but I honestly really didn't like it because I don't think Walt got what he deserved, honestly. But I think that its sequel series, Better Call Saul, was amazing in how it carried out its finale, especially in tying up the characters' loose ends and their stories.
Mercedes, thanks a lot for sharing that. And I think it was a good non-spoiler way to talk about the end of Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll try to also avoid spoilers as much as I can.
I mean, it's been out for a while. But
it has, but people are still discovering it, so I'll cut them a break. But yeah, it is something sort of anticlimactic. It really comes down to, do you see Walter White as a hero or a villain? And the show is very clear. You should see him as a villain. The fandom is not always as clear. And so if you see him as a hero, it's almost sort of like this sort of poetic ending. If you don't see him as that, like Mercedes said, it is not satisfying because you're like, wait a minute, this is just, he got off too light, right? Better Call Saul in a lot of ways from and I kind of gave up on that, but I did keep up with the show. I read about it, I followed the ending. Feels like in a lot of ways they were trying to kind of maybe sort of reorient the kind of moral compass of those two shows with that ending.
Mercedes, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Brian Carr from UW Green Bay about great and less great TV series finales after a couple of big ones dropped over the last few weeks. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Lynn is with us in Eustisford. Lynn, hi.
Hi. I think the best ending of any program that I can think of, besides the one from Bob Newhart, that was cool, but it's MASH. The way they ended that with the going up and then seeing all the people down below, that was pretty good ending.
Lynn, thanks a lot for the call. We've got to listen here to a clip. Here's Hawkeye, the Alan Alda, saying goodbye to his partner in medicine and crime, B.J. Honeycutt.
Look, I know how tough it is for you to say goodbye, so I'll say it. Maybe you're right. Maybe we will see each other again, but just in case we don't, I want you to know how much you've meant to me. I'll never be able to shake you. Whenever I see a big pair of feet or a cheesy mustache, I'll think of you. Whenever I smell month-old socks, I'll think of you. And the next time somebody nails my shoe to the floor, when somebody gives me a martini that tastes like lighter fluid, I'll miss you. I'll miss you. A lot. I can't imagine what this place would have been like if I hadn't found you here.
Lynn brings up, as you mentioned earlier, Brian, a much-watched series finale. And it's one that, as we heard in that clip there, gives a lot of the closure people might have wanted to the relationships they'd been following for years.
Yeah, MASH was a special case in a lot of ways. That show tonally was something unlike anything else on television at that point. Very much a show that kind of in a lot of ways I believe actually lasted longer than the actual conflict mm-hmm. in which it took place. And was, of course, it was never about the Korean War. Anybody who watched the show knows what it was actually about, which is, of course, Vietnam. Of course, it also outlasted that. That's the show that a lot of people like. It's very feasible that, you know, you watch it as a child, you grew up with it as an adult. And so it does, I think, resonate and stick with people in a very meaningful way because those characters really became such a huge part of people's lives.
Thanks a lot for that call. Brian, do you think a series finale is different in the age of MASH, you know, when it was mainly meant for that initial broadcast and, yeah, some syndication later versus a streaming show that, counts on people in some ways watching it maybe in real time, but maybe discovering it 5 years later?
Sure, and we can get into the metrics of streaming television. That's a whole other interview mm-hmm. and make it make sense, but the takeaway I think is that there is a sort of disposability in the streaming age, right? There are shows that will stick around, that will last, that will resonate, that will mean something to people, but they don't feel like events in the same way because it really comes down to the whole idea that we're not sharing sort of a commonality in terms of when we're actually watching it, where we're actually watching it. If you were watching the MASH finale, you and 105 million other people were all tuned into CBS that night. Whereas if you're watching, say, the finale of Ted Lasso or Succession or something like that, you might watch at the same time. Like, you know, we would sit and like when we watch it, we made sure we watch it like as soon as 8 o'clock rolled around. We switched over I keep saying HBO Max. It's Max now. I do so under protest. I refuse to acknowledge that name. But we made sure the app was loaded so we could watch it as soon as it was up. Right. But that's still not the same. Right. And so appointment viewing is gone. That sort of shared communal community event is gone. In an age of fragmentation, it's really hard to have that same sort of impact in oomph. And I think probably the last show to really do it was Game of Thrones. And that's, I think, a part of why it was such sort of vicious backlash, because some people were gathered around watching it to see how it ended. So it's definitely a different time.
And is it different, Brian, because, you know, the creators of MASH say knew what their ratings were. They might have focus group things. I don't know. But a creator of a TV show today has instant feedback, for better or worse, immediately from the fan community, if any.
Well, instant feedback from the fans, for sure. There's jokes in the Ted Lasso subreddit, for instance. People were asking, like, did the writers just follow us and just write what we wanted to see? And I think there's an argument that, yeah, they probably did. But also, you know, in terms of like the actual metrics of how ratings are doing for shows and that kind of thing, those numbers are very much under lock and key at most of the major streaming outlets. It's very difficult for showrunners to know exactly how a show is doing until they get the call, hey, you've been picked up for another season, or hey, you just got canceled. Right. So it's really hard, I think, in a lot of ways to build out those seasons in a way that, you know, with linear television, it was a lot easier, because if you got renewed for a season, you knew you got X number of episodes. You could either and you might get picked up again if the ratings were solid. The folks who did MASH, they knew they're going to be going on for a while until eventually they decide, OK, the show's going to end, or our ratings are down. So we're going to, you know, we have one less season to tell the story. So we're going to do it. That doesn't really happen. That's a luxury in the streaming age.
Brian, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Brian Carr, professor of communication, information science, and women and gender studies at UW Green Bay. We talked to them today about what makes a great or not so great TV finale. And you could keep sharing your favorites, your hits, your misses for final episodes over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.